I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us. Final hour of the final segment of the week here. BYU taking on Boise State. The Utah Utes taking on the Arizona State Sun Devils. Utah State taking on the Nevada Wolfpack this week. So it'd be interesting to see how everybody does. All different levels of, you know, for Utah State, it's like, hey, we got to get our groove back here because we went into LSU and LSU did what LSU does, and that is they beat people, and they beat the Aggies pretty bad. So the 3-2 Aggies trying to get one back this week after their bye week. Also, Utah and this big game, of course, against Arizona State. And we talked to Bill last hour, Scott, but before we get into this to this Nick Saban thing in the cut, I just want to ask you real quick. Is this game, because you said, yeah, no, they can handle this. They can totally take this team. This is a big spread. And I know, look, I'm not into betting. I'm not encouraging anybody into getting betting. But Vegas always knows something. Why is this game a two-touchdown? Is Utah a two-touchdown favorite against a team that's the 17th-ranked team in the country, and they're the 13th-ranked team in the country?
I think if you look at the teams that Arizona State's played, they really haven't played a team that's very good yet. I mean, really, who have they played that's good?
Yeah, I don't know.
And they lost to Colorado. And Colorado, I don't know, is a really good
middle
team.
Middle-of-the-road team, yeah.
Yeah, but I Michigan State isn't very good. Wazoo's not very good. I believe they played UCLA. They played Cal, and Cal lost its quarterback. But they're playing these average teams. They're not blowing people out.
Yeah,
they're just kind of fighting, scrapping, figure a way how to get through. And
But Eno Benjamin's good, and he's
They have a freshman quarterback, and he's talented, and he's going to be a really good player.
But not yet.
He's played.
He's got more yards and touchdowns than the old Tyler Huntley.
I will tell you, he has actually played pretty decent. And again, he's not faced, I hate to say this, but he hasn't faced a defense like Utah. And I hate to even say that because I don't want to jinx for the defense.
Yeah.
But there, Utah's defense plays and plays well. They will create a challenge. If Utah cannot let Eno Benjamin, get off like they did last year, it's the last time they had a team that actually rushed for 100 yards against them. So this defense has been really stout against the run, because if Arizona State can do that, then it takes the pressure. You bail out a young quarterback. You got to force him to beat you. You got to beat us.
All right.
But no,
you shouldn't be that worried about it if you're a Utah fan.
All I'll tell you is if Utah loses, they're out. So it's a huge game.
So they're not going to.
But I think they're a much better team than Arizona State.
Let's hit it right here. Let's talk a little bit about our favorite head football coach that is outside of the state of Utah. It's Nick Saban, the guy we love to hate, Scott. So the deal is, now this guy made some comments, and he's the king of, he is the poster child for a coach who is bigger than any team that he's ever assembled, and probably bigger than the university that he is that he represents too. But Tua Tagovailoa became Alabama's all-time career touchdown pass leader, by the way. Quietly, even though we talk about him so much, We also kind of go.
It is Alabama, you know.
It is Alabama. They're
it's
not necessarily.
It's not like they're just lighting it up.
How many do you have career touchdowns at Utah?
I don't even know.
69. Well, he's got you beat. 77.
Yeah.
But now, would you play like one? You play like 1.25 year or something like that, right?
Something like that. It's about the equivalent of 2 years.
When asked by reporters what he thought about Tagovailoa earning the record, Saban gave his quarterback a quick compliment before quickly turning to the narrative that he does, which is rat poison, because he feels like the media is filling his players' heads with unproductive praise. And I look at that and I roll my eyes and go, coaches are the worst.
I actually disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Because you buy into this whole thing.
I absolutely do. Nick Saban, I think, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think he's one of the greatest coaches in college football today about keeping his players in the moment. And about when you have your best performance, and this has been proven over and over and over again, you're not dwelling on the mistakes of the past and you're not looking to what's my future success. If you can just stay in the moment, like we do on, well, like we try to do on the show every night, we try to stay in right now, right this very minute, what's actually happening. That's when you have your greatest success in your performances, regardless of what they are. And he does a tremendous job of actually keeping those players in the moment. And I believe this. I think it's harder when you have success to stay in the moment. I think you get so much more complacent when you have success.
Yeah, but can't you just – let me just ask you this.
So just let me finish this thought about it because it's important. So for a team like Alabama to continue year after year after year under Nick Saban and be in the conversation about a national championship every year is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And you can't take that away from Alabama. So what do you want to ask me?
Just the part about, like, can't you just go – because the reality was is the reporter wasn't sitting there going, I can't wait, and then you guys are gonna die because you're gonna take this rat poison. Yeah. But here's why, because the real answer could be, I've loved working with this kid, and the reality is that yeah, he broke a record. Okay, let's do it, Scott. I'll be the guy. So you be the media member. You ask me the question. I'll be Nick Saban. And here's how he should have answered it instead of getting into the criticizing media mode. Okay, go ahead. You be the guy.
So obviously your quarterback.
I don't take questions from you because I think you're kind of a liar. But I'll do it this time.
Okay, thank you for indulging me.
You're welcome.
So this quarterback you have is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he set all these records. He's going to go down as probably one of the greatest quarterbacks in Alabama history. What can you tell us about Tua Tagovailoa?
First of all, his name's Tua Tagovailoa. Okay, so get it right.
Whatever.
But
it could be violin for all I care. Vailoa.
I like where your head's at.
Vailoa.
Listen. I love that kid, and he's just an important part of this football team.
You know what he calls him? Tui.
What? He does call him Tui.
Because he doesn't even want to mess with his last name.
Tui's a good kid. I mean, since I've recruited him and his brother, his family is the best as you can get. Breaking records? Great, fine, but he's an awesome young man. And the record means a lot to him, and that means it means a lot to me. And the record means a lot to this university, and I hope that the fans enjoy the fact that they have this amazing player here. And he loves being here, and he loves the fans. And we're just super excited for him because he just keeps getting better and better every week. And that's all I ask of him, not to break records, just to get better every week. That's it. You don't have to do this whole, I hate you put this stuff in my players' ears, and then they become terrible, and it's your fault, media. It's like, no, it's not. Which one is it? That you have one of the best quarterbacks in the country? Because guess what they talk about when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the country? They talk about the records they break. It's not a news. It's not a, how did it suddenly turn into a how dare you ask that question about my player breaking a record? All you're trying to do is get that stuff in that poison in my player's ears. It's such garbage. You have the ability to be able to make the message. And the message is, and the message he's sending across is, and you're buying into it, is this whole, oh man, like, I don't care about any of that stuff. We just trying to on to Cleveland. Yeah, get out of here. Quit trying to be Belichick with this. Celebrate the kid, and then you move straight on and say we're trying to beat our next opponent.
No. What it is is I let you froth at the mouth, and I get your point. He's not talking to the media when he's saying this. He's not talking to the media. He's talking to his players. He's talking to the people with inside the walls so that they recognize Alabama hasn't done anything this year. And this isn't about a player.
Yeah, so say, you know, Rutgers is going to mean more when he wins that national championship, because I know that's more important to him.
What he recognizes, he realizes that this is a really easy thing for his players to get to have happen. And it's happened in the past, and he's recognized it from happening in the past. And he's got to get not only his players, but he's got to get himself in the right frame of mind. He's not talking to, he's not addressing the media. He's talking to himself. He's talking to his players. And I'm just, I hear what you're saying. I just don't agree with it.
All right, we're going to take a break here.
And I'm not a fan of Nick Saban. I think he's an idiot, but he does a lot of things very well.
All right, including being like playing that role of the grumpy old guy. Good job, Nick Saban. You did it. You have no heart.
Hey, Bill Belichick is kind of setting the example for all these coaches, being a grumpy old miser.
Taking the break. When we come back, guess what we have? Hey, afternoon traffic and weather. It's a weekend. What are the odds? See if you can play right along here with us. Stay with us here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.